before we get going here, I just want to run over a couple of things. Like, this isn't just going to be like a lecture or a sermon, be just telling you, you know, a bunch of things. You're going to sit and listen. This is just an open discussion type thing. I'm going to guide it, and I want your input. I want your thoughts, your ideas, you know, good, bad, and different. If you think I'm wrong, say so. If you've got ideas, say so. What we're going to talk about today, my title is Living in Satan's World. We're going to explore some of the areas of our society, and we're going to use the Bible to try to explain maybe why things are the way they are. And like I said, you know, when we come to scriptures, I'm not just going to sit and read the scriptures. We'll go in a clockwise direction. You guys can read them. You learn much better if you read them yourself. And we'll just go from there. So, I guess, for me, I've heard a lot of sermons over the years that talk about, you know, how bad the world is, and this is Satan's world, and things are terrible. And sometimes I think it's hard where we live, you know, in the U.S., you guys live in, you know, Michigan, South Dakota, Wyoming, wherever. Does it really seem that bad? You know, you wake up in the morning, you got food on the table, you got a warm house, and you go to school, nobody's trying to shoot you like in other parts of the world. You know, is it that bad? So, that's kind of what I thought about when I wanted to do this study. I want to give you guys some kind of a perspective, I guess, as to, you know, what our world really is like under the surface, because, you know, like a gift that's wrapped. You know, it looks pretty on the outside. It's got shiny paper, ribbons, whatever. But you don't know what's inside the box. You know, it could be a box of wood shavings. It could be a box of gold. So I think this world, you know, it's pretty on the outside, but inside there's more sinister things at work. And especially you guys being young adults. I don't really go for the whole teen thing. You guys are young adults. You know, teenagers have a bad connotation in today's society. You know, you're more susceptible to the draws of the world, I think, because you don't have the school of hard knocks that maybe your parents have been through that kind of bang you up a little bit and make you think that things aren't quite as good as they are. So what I want to start off with is, let's turn to, Anna, have you turned to 2 Corinthians 11? Verse 14. We'll try to get an idea as to what might be happening here. Because when we talk about this being Satan's world, you know, the picture of Satan that is maybe more familiar with in modern media would be, you know, a red-faced character with horns, maybe looks like half-goat with a tail. And, you know, if you were to encounter that, that would never fool you. You'd never think, oh, you know, that's just harmless. So, if Satan's going to get at us, at people in general, the whole society, he's got to look something less than that. That's just a cheap ripoff. The picture that people have of the devil as being this evil-looking creature that would scare anybody. So in order to be able to work his ways, Satan needs to be something different from that. Okay.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel, but.
Okay, so Satan's transformed into an angel of light, and other translations would make that a minister of light. You know, we think of light, you know, being good, being pure. So when Satan wants to deceive you, he's turning himself into something that looks good, something looks nice. And another argument I've heard is, well, you know, this really isn't Satan's world. Satan's not really in control, you know. God is ruling things, and whilst God has the ultimate control, Satan has been given the opportunity to rule down here for a season until he's put away. So the second scripture I want you guys to look at is Ephesians 2 and verse 2.
No. I'm really slow.
Ephesians, should be read by Galatians.
Can you read it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
I think my Ephesians is right here. Two.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Oh. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the price of the power of the air, the spirit who knows works in the son of disobedience.
Right, so the prince of the power of the air, okay, when you walk in the prince of the power of the air is Satan. That's the devil. So if you're the prince of the power of the air, you have authority over what's going on around here. And so we've got a couple of scriptures we're going to look at that tell us that Satan is here. He is on the earth, whether we can see him or not. There's a spirit world. It's hard for us to really comprehend the spirit world, but even people who, from any walk of life, everybody has, stories or experiences or things they can't explain that point to a spirit world. So we know there's a spirit world out there. And to give us an idea of what's out there in that spirit world, let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 18.
Luke's back, watch right here, Green.
Luke 10, verse 18. All right.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Okay, and the next one we're going to look at is Revelation 12 and verse 4. You got it?
No.
Yeah.
All right.
And his tail draweth and third part of the stars of the heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, you may devour her child.
Right, so the dragon, or Satan, drew a third of the stars of heaven. So this is a third of the angels. So a third of the angels in heaven followed Satan in rebellion. They were cast to the earth. Okay, so Satan and demons were cast to the earth from heaven. So, Satan is here and he's real. But, do we have an exemption from his influence because we're members of the church? Or will we get extra attention? Right, we're going to get extra attention because the resurrected saints with Christ, those are the ones that are going to depose Satan from his throne. Right? If he's the king, we're going to be putting him away. And he doesn't want that. Now, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. There's no way around that. And, he probably understands and knows that. But as many people as he can put off track and get rid of as possible, that's in his best interest. So for you guys, the next generation of Christians, you got to be aware of these things. So, I personally feel we're going to get extra special attention because the people that don't believe in God or maybe the people of other religions, Hindus, Muslims, who aren't Christian, who aren't going to be part of the bride of Christ, who will be part of the second resurrection, those people don't need his attention. They're not a threat. You guys are the threat. You guys are what he's worried about. So I've got a couple of scriptures we're going to highlight here that I think really show that extra attention. So next one we'll turn to Genesis 3, verse 1. You're up.
I forgot.
That's all right. You can use this tablet. He'll bring it up for you.
to.
What was it, Genesis?
Genesis 3, verse 1.
No serpent was more than that, and he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
Right, so the serpent, which is Satan in this particular text, he's more subtle. So you guys know what we mean by subtle. I mean, he's not open. He's just cunning, just little things. You know, the way he went about it, he just tempted Eve. And both Adam and Eve, the only two humans alive at this point, both fell for this. They were given special attention right off the bat. Like, there's only two humans in existence right now, and Satan was on them, just like that. So, we're going to turn to Luke 4, verse 3 next.
Luke 4, verse 3.
Okay.
And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread.
Okay, so previous to this, Christ has been in the wilderness right after he got baptized, being tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And this is the culmination of that. So, if Christ himself is going to be given one-on-one attention by the devil, then we can be pretty sure that we're going to get it too. Okay? And whilst we're not necessarily going to be in that kind of one-on-one situation with him where, you know, he was taken to view the nations of the world and ask if he'd trade for it, we're gonna see throughout this study that there's other ways that the devil's gonna get at us. Okay. The last one we look at in this little bit is Job chapter 1. We're gonna read verses 6 and 12. Job 1, verse 6.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them.
And then verse 12.
And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
Right, so in this text, Job, I mean, he's a righteous guy. I mean, he is. God says that, you know, have you seen my servant Job? You know, this guy is great. And Satan basically says, hey, you know, if you let me pick on him, he's just going to turn his back on you. And God allowed Satan to do that to Job, who was a righteous individual. So throughout these verses we've read, we can see that, you know, we're going to be getting an extra measure of temptation. It's going to be subtle. It's going to be done with guile. And so what we're going to do for the rest of this study this morning, I'm going to touch on several areas of our society here in this country that maybe might give you a different perspective on how things really are. And some of these topics, they're easy to look at. Some of these are maybe a little bit more in-depth. And some of them are going to be more controversial. I mean, you guys are older. You know, some of these issues may be a little more sensitive, maybe. But what I've found is that you really need to know why you believe what you believe. This can't be your parents' religion. This can't be something you just ride in the back of the truck to church and. You maybe think you're just going to soak it up. You've got to prove this. You've got to prove all these things to yourself. You've got to know why this is right. Or if parts of this aren't right, you've got to prove everything to yourself. I heard a cool saying one time. It goes like this. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Right? So you've got to know what you stand for. Otherwise, the next fast talker down the road is going to have you believing whatever.
Because, now I know you guys, you're outnumbered in the towns you live in terms of what you believe, in terms of what your parents believe. You know, my kids are, I am. You know, in our town, well, we're it. You know, we don't have a whole band of Sabbath keepers around us, people that keep the holy days, to help us along. Everybody we know, they're either Mormon or Lutheran or atheist or whatever else. And so you're continually being hit with these issues from your friends. Hey, why do you do these feast days? Hey, what's wrong with Christmas? Hey, why don't you go to church on Sunday? Hey, we're good people. And you need to know in your mind why you're right and what is right and why maybe they're wrong. Okay? So, first topic we're going to look at, we kind of touched on it already, and it's really looking at religion. The scripture we read earlier, it basically said, you know, Satan transforms himself into a minister of light. So we know that we know that this world's religion, the ministers of light, is not run by God, it's run by Satan. So, you know, so we'll start off with something easy. I mean, we've got the holidays. I mean, for you guys, I guess, I mean, do you have any thoughts? I mean, I know you probably have a lot more influence on the holidays and stuff, and Christmas. I grew up keeping Christmas. I never thought there's anything wrong with Christmas. But then when I was challenged as to why do you keep Christmas, I was like, well, it's fun. Like, what's the reason? I was like, well, I don't really know what the reason is, I guess. You know, I wasn't brought up in a religious household, but still did all the holidays. And so, I mean, for instance, we got a holiday coming up later this month. Anybody know what it is?
Halloween.
Halloween. How significant do you think Halloween is these days? You know, kids that participate in Halloween, or?
Yeah.
You're the only one who doesn't, pretty much? Maybe, yeah. It's a bit of fun, right? What could be so harmful with a bunch of little kids going around getting candy and dressing up as...
The Walking Dead.
or, you know, Strawberry Shortcake. Yeah? Yeah, I heard this year, in terms of gross revenue for stores, Halloween is going to surpass Christmas as the most spent on holiday. And if it doesn't, it's going to be awful close. So people spend more money on Halloween than any other holiday this year. Maybe. It's going to be close. We're talking billions of dollars into a holiday that isn't just a little bit of fun. Right? So when we talk about Satan's influence and this being Satan's world, almost the number one religious holiday. This is a religion to a lot of people. A lot of people keep Halloween as a religious festival. It's not just a bit of fun. And it's evil. So, you know, when we're looking at this, we've got to understand when our friends are going to Halloween parties or whatever else, and it's just a bit of fun. Let's have it in our heads as to why. I didn't pick out a scripture for this. Does anybody have anything off the top of their head that they can think of? I mean, when I went through this study, I picked scriptures here and there, and I bet I could have picked, you know, 100 more to back up this topic.
Joshua talks about the Christmas tree.
Okay, so we'll look at that in a second.
It's Joshua 10.
Yes, it's Jeremiah 10.
Oh, Jeremiah.
So, okay. When we're talking about pagan holidays, obviously we've hit Halloween, then after Halloween it's going to be Christmas. You know, Christmas is a painful time for kids in the church. I mean, I know it is. I've got 3 kids of my own, and we're the only kids in town that don't keep Christmas. Why don't you keep Christmas? And at work, what do you mean? Why don't you keep Christmas? You know, you poor kids. You know, your parents probably hear the same thing, you know. And so, let's look at Jeremiah 10. Is it Jeremiah 10?
Yeah.
13?
No. It starts.
Okay, Jeremiah 10, verse... Hold on.
Jeremiah is a green one.
Jeremiah 10, verse 3. We'll start there. So remember, Satan's influence on mankind is nothing new. You know, from Adam and Eve, he's been influencing people. So Jeremiah 10 verse 3. Somebody want to catch that? Anybody?
Hello.
For the customs of the people are vain, and one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe.
Keep going.
They deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it not move.
Right. So, if this doesn't describe a Christmas tree, I don't know what does. Everybody's familiar with the Christmas tree. Christmas, you know, celebrating the birth of Christ. Now, that's a separate study entirely, and that's something that I would encourage you guys to all go through before Christmas. Even if you know it, go and study the account of what people believe Christmas to be, you know, the birth of Christ. Study it and go through it again. And make sure you know why Christmas isn't right, why it's something from the Old Testament. How can it be from the Old Testament? How can they have Christmas in the Old Testament? Christ was born at the junction of the New Testament, right? And Jeremiah was written 500 years before Christ. I mean, so I would encourage you all to do that. I do that with our kids every year, because you want to go over this stuff every year. Make sure you know why you're missing out on Christmas. Why Christmas just isn't right. You know, it's not accurate in any way, shape, or form. And then, you know, outside of holidays, well, a little sidebar here. Easter, again, you come to Easter, another big holiday in the Christian faith. Why would Easter have anything to do with the devil? You know, again, it's a great study for you to do. As a sidebar, does anybody know why kids color Easter eggs? Why do kids color Easter eggs? There is a pagan origin to coloring of Easter eggs. And it's bad.
It's
so
bad.
I know it's on top.
Yeah, it's bad. Issues.
Okay?
I know.
Wasn't it a woman who killed little children and then dipped their blood in eggs?
It was pagan sacrificial rite. Okay? For fertility. Easter is a fertility festival. That's why you have rabbits, eggs, things like that. It's all based on rebirth. And it's an ancient fertility festival that goes back, clear back past Babylonian times. But yeah, you're right. Ancient pagan custom was they would take eggs, a child would be sacrificed, an infant, a baby, and the blood was used to color eggs, which were then offered as an offering. Sick.
Yeah.
Sick. Only Satan would have a child or a person sacrificed. Right? The sacrificial law in the Old Testament never involved people. But yet, these pagan civilizations have warped that, and they've sacrificed people. Okay? So that's why kids color Easter eggs, guys. So when you think it's just cute and fun, it's not a big deal. It's just little kids having fun. That's the origin of Easter egg painting. Okay? So it's evil. So we touched on holidays. That was a slow pitch. That one was easy to catch, right? Okay. So what about media? What about the media? What do you guys think of when I say media?
Telephone.
Television.
Television?
Facebook.
Right? What else?
All social media.
You guys are young. We used to have these things called newspapers. Right? That's how you get news. It was the big sheets of paper that had real print on it. Okay? So newspapers. All of these things are giving us information. When these days, I mean, we've got two cell phones with the Bible, two tablets with the Bible, and then old school Bibles. But this flood of information is bombarding us daily. And it's being controlled by the prince of the power of the air. Right? The media is designed for one thing, to teach. Right? To teach and to instruct. And it's done under the guise of entertainment. Right? When you watch a TV show, it's designed to be entertaining. Okay, sitcoms, They all have the same mold, right? And they're designed to entertain with a message. Okay, they're getting that message across, and you guys are being bombarded. We're being bombarded with these same messages over and over and over. And it conditions society, the media conditions society to think and act a particular way. Right? So, for instance, sitcoms. I don't have cable TV anymore. I got rid of it. I just don't want it anymore. But I do know a little about sitcoms, situational comedies. What does every sitcom made in about the last 5 years have in common? You got to think a little deep here. And it's probably more than 5 years, maybe closer to 10 years.
Sexual.
Yes, a lot of sexual innuendo. What else? Okay, well, on the same lines.
Very dysfunctional family.
Very dysfunctional family. Every single one, you think about it. We could probably go around the room. You could each pick out a sitcom that has those two traits. Anything else? One more thing that's become... Huh?
I said I couldn't.
It has one thing that has now become a very hot topic in this country because people have been conditioned through the media to accept this.
Gay marriage.
Gay marriage. Not necessarily gay marriage. Every sitcom has a homosexual male. You think about it. Every single one. That guy is a... Anybody? What kind of traits do they have?
Very flirtatious.
Flirtatious. And?
Wear girl clothes.
Well, they're funny, right? The gay guy's funny. He has all the canned laughter. Every time he speaks, canned laughter. You know, somebody pushed the button. Okay, what else? What else are they? There's direct opposite to the father in the family.
Mother.
They're smart. Every homosexual male in a sitcom is smart. The father of the family is Homer Simpson, right? He's a bumbling idiot. But we're conditioned, the media, through Satan's influence, is conditioning our society to accept homosexuality, which, I mean, we could do a study on that for the next half hour, pick out numerous scriptures to say that is wrong. It is wrong. It is flat abomination. And also, the destruction of the family. Okay, so the media is conditioning us to think that families are somewhat boring or old-fashioned, right? It's kind of old-fashioned to have a family sit around the table doing something like eating dinner, you know, or Bible study. When was the last Bible study in a sitcom on U.S. television? Right. Mention of God. Gone. Mention of Bible. Gone. Mention of principles of good living, gone, and being replaced with all the things that are taking apart the family. When a culture's family starts to disintegrate, well, you're pretty much over. I mean, you could study the Roman Empire, you could study the Egyptian Empire, you could study the Greek Empire. As they started to fragment and fall apart, it was predominated by these things, by the destruction of the family and by a rise in homosexuality. Yes?
I just kind of want to throw this in there, if you think about it in regards to what he's saying. One of the more popular ones is called the Modern Family.
The Modern Family. Ooh. Right. And I've not seen it, but I could pretty much pick the mold. It's a dysfunctional family with a homosexual older child, probably, and so on and so forth. And so, we as a society are being spoon-fed this, or drip-fed it, day in, day out. And you get so that you can watch it and not think, you know, that's really bad. You know what I mean? You get lulled to sleep. We're being lulled to sleep here. So, when your friends at school come to you and say, hey, there's nothing wrong with gay marriage, we should vote that in, you know? I heard the comment, hey, there's just more love in the world. What's wrong with that? Right? That was one of my co-workers. There's just more love in the world. And That's what's happening. Gay marriage will probably be signed into law in the state of Wyoming near the end of the year because the Supreme Court has just overturned Utah, Texas, Oklahoma, and somewhere else's campaigns to have it abolished in their state and have only marriage be between a man and a woman. The U.S. Supreme Court has turned that down, which opens the floodgates for gay marriage in every single state. And people in Wyoming, three couples in Wyoming, you think of Wyoming, I mean, it's just a bunch of cowboys running around with six shooters. It would have been unheard of 10 years ago. Will probably be signed into law this year, coming to a state near you. Right? You guys have to know why this is wrong. This can't be just your parents saying, hey, gay marriage is wrong. Because, you know, all your friends are going to be saying, you know, what's wrong with it? It's okay. Hey, you know, this is 2014. Into the new millennium. You know, it'll be so old-fashioned. It's all Bible stuff. Right? You're going to be hearing that a lot. So let's hit Matthew 24, verse 6 in this area. We'll go to the next person on the left.
Matthew what?
Matthew 24, verse 6.
Green. Light green.
It's green.
I know it's green.
Okay.
Matthew what?
24 verse 6. Ready, Kayla? Okay.
And you will hear the wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Okay, and then Daniel 12 and verse 4.
Going the wrong way.
Daniel 12 and verse 4.
You, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run and fro, and knowledge shall increase.
Right. And this is media-driven, guys. When we hear rumors of wars, wars and rumors of wars, many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall increase. We're seeing that on an exponential scale. And when I graduated high school, there was no instantaneous messaging like we have now. I mean, a bomb goes off in Afghanistan, it pops up on your phone right away. Somebody's already videoed it. And I'm 38, so stuff is increasing incredibly rapidly. And it's media-driven. This media is encapsulating us. So you gotta be really wary about what we know that when you go to McDonald's, even though Big Mac tastes good, nobody's thinking they're getting good nutrition, right? We know that the things we ingest in our bodies are going to do certain things. If we live on Chex Mix, like back there, you're going to end up getting sick, right? We all know about diet, but be careful about what you ingest into your minds. And that goes for adults, too. None of us is exempt. We've got to be careful about what we ingest into our minds, whether it's coming from a TV, whether it's coming from a newspaper or your phone. You know, When it comes to visual stimulation, like YouTube videos from your phone or the television, the screen, especially these modern screens, their refresh rate is extremely fast. Right? We're talking way, way, way faster than the old tube TVs. So your eye is not seeing that screen refresh, okay? But your brain is. Your brain is running way faster than your eyes. So your brain is processing information faster than your eyes are. Okay? And that's why people are so easily influenced from what they see on TV. Because those subliminal messages, the things that they're not really seeing, they're not really hearing, their brain is taking in. And the faster these screens get, the more ability people that are... I don't think these TV producers get up in the morning and think, I'm going to do the devil's work today. I'm going to persuade a bunch of people that, these bad ideas are going to be okay. But Satan is influencing society, influencing these people, producing this stuff. I call it stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah. So that's an area I feel that as young people, as young adults, you've got to be wary. So we're going to quickly touch on our government. Is the U.S. government based on God?
Nope. I can tell you that for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I wrote so over the summer I took government to get clap course out of it because I had to. And so then for extra credit, my teacher told me that I could write a paper defending if the Ten Commandments should be left in court systems. And so then I obviously defended that it should be left in. And then I did all the research on it, and my paper was super long. It was 5 pages. But it basically, going back in time, even some of the laws, the majority of the laws that we still have today are based off of the Ten Commandments.
Very good. The U.S. Constitution is based on the Bible. Okay? The men that wrote the U.S. Constitution, most of them were Christians. They based the U.S. Constitution on the Bible. Okay, that is the law of the land. Okay, so that was a great point. I really like that because I got a yes and I got a no. Okay, so yes, the U.S. Constitution is based on the Ten Commandments. Why no?
They don't follow it.
They don't follow it. Okay? If you were to study the U.S. Constitution, and so in your government class in school, did they have you read the U.S. Constitution?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah, we went through slides of it. And well, my teacher, he summarized the parts of it, and then we read that.
But did they actually have you read the Constitution?
No.
Okay. Cool. My wife went through an honors degree, and she has a bachelor's in mathematics and education, and was in the honors college, and went to all the government things, and they had a government class trip, and never once did they read the U.S. Constitution. And they were told about it, but they never read it. Okay, the U.S. Constitution obviously has flaws to it. It is not the law of God, but it is based around the Bible. But our government today is not following the Constitution. It's not following biblical basics. Right. I'm going to hit one point that has become a big point in our nation, and it's the subject of welfare. Okay? It's the subject of welfare. There's no precedent in the U.S. Constitution for welfare. But yet, 50% of the adult population in the United States is on some form of welfare. Now, some form of welfare for the disabled and for those people who cannot look after themselves is biblical. But to be provided by the government, not necessarily so. So let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. We'll kind of highlight this point, but we've gone about the government for forever, you know.
I'm using these things.
2 Thessalonians.
I'm not using these things.
Wait, what chapter and everything?
It has the first three letters of each.
3 verse
book.
10.
Yes, I see this. Oh, right there, okay, yeah.
2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10. Okay?
Right. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Okay? And we'll go to Proverbs 16 verse 26.
He that labors for himself, for his mouth craves it of him.
Okay, so we can see from the Bible that if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay? So this is one area that our government, our federal government, is perverting God's law through Satan's influence. You know? You don't have to work anymore. right? You just go on welfare. Everybody else take care of you, right? You just get a check from the government to sit on your butt and play video games. And, you know, that's what it is. And more people are buying into this. It's not biblical, guys. You got to know why, when you come of an age to get a job, why you should go get a job and not just live off of the government. Like this, again, this is going to be a turning point of this nation. Right? Either we're just going to totally flush ourselves down the toilet, or there's going to be a backlash against this kind of practice. It's not biblical. Let's touch on education. Our educational system. So, I mean, some of us are probably in public school, some of us probably homeschooled. So really, I'm going to be more focused on public education, because when you're homeschooled, you can pick and choose whatever you want. But in public education, when was the last time the Ten Commandments were read in the classroom?
Never.
Those of us who aren't in public school, we can probably figure the answer.
Do they even do the Pledge of Allegiance anymore?
Yes.
Yeah, they do?
Yes, we do. I think they stopped it.
They do it in Michigan, too.
I do.
Right.
I still do
the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, the Pledge of Allegiance is to...
Flag
of the United States of America. Okay. Ten Commandments is an allegiance to God. Okay? I'm not saying the Pledge of Allegiance is necessarily bad, but back in 200 years ago, when the people that put this country together, from the Founding Fathers on, when they went to school, they didn't have textbooks. They only had one book. Anybody know what it was?
The Bible.
It was the Bible. That's how they learned to read. That's how they learned how to reason, how to think, how to use sound judgment. They learned it from the Bible. And if you read the memoirs of many of the Founding Fathers of this country, they continually reference that. They learned to read from the Bible. That's how they learned to read. That's how they were taught. If you just read the Proverbs, you can learn pretty much most of the sound judgment and reasoning you need in everyday life just from the book of Proverbs. Yeah. Written by a very wise individual. He had problems too. Is really the mention of God allowed in schools or colleges anymore?
Mm-mm.
No? Why?
Because that's the way Satan built, set it up.
Well, there's Satan. There's only one reason why God would be abolished from school children's lives. And that's if Satan doesn't want it in there. Satan doesn't want it in there. We have an increase of school violence, shootings, and so on, from across the country, not just in places like you might expect, like New York. Colorado's had a lot of problems with it. Colorado's a western state. It's kind of a God-fearing state, really. It's becoming more secular, but it's not like coastal states like you might think. So, as we take God out of schools, we start having terrible things happen in the schools. I'm not necessarily saying that going to school is bad. I'm just saying there's a direct correlation between the removal of God and extreme violence in schools. Kids just totally going crazy. What about teaching on stuff like evolution, Darwinism? When you guys have a biology class, do you ever get like two perspectives on your class? Because there are two perspectives.
Kind of.
Kind of? Yeah?
Because they teach it as theories. So they say this is one theory, and then this is another theory, but we did mainly focus on the evolution side.
Right.
Like, for test purposes, she was like, these are the answers that you would have. But...
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because I was in high school 20 years ago, and there was only one biology taught, and it was evolution. It was Darwinism. And I was educated in England. I, went to a boarding school. I went to an Anglican boarding school. Okay, so Anglicans are a little bit more like maybe Lutherans in terms of kind of what they believe. And I mean, touch on Catholicism. So I went to a religious school, and I was taught absolutely as fact, no question, evolution is absolutely correct. From a school that's supposed to believe in God. So the fact that you were taught as only theories, but it's obvious that you could only write one answer in your test if you wanted to score 100%.
Yeah.
Right, we came from monkeys, right?
Yeah.
So Satan's influences on education, again, they're teaching us that God is wrong, that Satan is right, that we came from monkeys, and monkeys came from, I don't know what monkeys are supposed to have come from, and they eventually came from a soup in the ocean that came from nowhere.
The only time I can really remember touching on God during school is to say that he has no part in evolution. That he's not there.
Right. He's not there. That's the point. God's not there. There's a separation, right? So, God's not there. Okay, what about dating and marriage? There's been quite a lot in the feast talking about Hebrew traditions of marriage and things like that. But is our modern culture successful when it comes to parents, essentially? Because when you guys end up getting married, you know, you're starting a family, you're going to have children more than likely, and you're going to raise those. But what's the divorce rate in the United States?
Really?
Approximately.
Really?
It's not quite that. But it's approximately one out of every two first marriages fail. It's 50%. There's a lot of kids out there with no mom, no dad. And it's getting higher. What about second marriages? People who've been married for the second time. You'd think the divorce rate would be lower, right? Because they made the mistake once and they're going to learn from their mistakes.
It's higher. It's
about 75%. What about third marriages? People that have messed it up twice, okay, these guys, they've got to have it straightened out now. They're only going to get married the third time if it's going to work out, right?
That's about 90%.
Divorce rate, about 90%. So something's wrong here, guys. When you look at biblical examples of dating and marriage, which have been touched on in the feast, I didn't pull out any scriptures because I figured that we'd probably start running a little short on time. But if anybody has one you can think of, let's pull it out as we're talking. But our culture basically says, when you get 14, 13 years old, you want to start dating boys and girls, kind of figure out what you want, right, what you like, and you'll break up, and then you'll go find somebody else, and that's probably not going to work out either, and then you're going to kind of hit your 20s, you're going to go to college, or date some more, but you'll probably break up with them too, and eventually you'll know what you want, right, because you've tried everything out there, and then you'll eventually settle down, get married, grow up, whatever else. But, I mean, we just read the stats. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Because every time you guys date somebody and then break up...
You're practicing for divorce.
You're practicing for divorce. You're practicing for divorce. You're getting used to, hey, if this doesn't work, I can move on, right?
Right.
Yeah? And it hurts. When you get dumped by your boyfriend or your girlfriend, it hurts. And so you start building up baggage. Almost like wounds, you know. So, I mean, the dating culture that we have in this country is pervasive. Again, it's in the media. You know, you'll see those things on TV, cartoons, whatever. It's absolutely drummed into you. You know, and it's going to be probably the hardest thing you're going to face after once you start getting older. It's not easy. I can't sit here and preach how easy it is because I don't do things right. But, you know, that's something that you guys should really think on and dwell on as you get older. Because in a few years, nearly all of you, you're going to be graduated high school, maybe gone on to college, maybe you'll be married, maybe you have children of your own. So you got to start thinking on these things. You're not too young to really start touching on these ideas and really figure out what's right and what's wrong and why. I got one more thing I'm going to touch on that kind of goes along with a lot of what we talked about. And it's another hot topic that's come in this country. And it's a tragic issue that is really hurting the country. It's hurting a lot of people. Does anybody know what the organization Planned Parenthood is? Anybody heard of Planned Parenthood? Heard of Planned Parenthood? What do they do?
They teach young people how to become parents.
That's what it sounds like, huh? Planned Parenthood. It sounds innocent. It sounds nice. Okay. Well, it says you guys should plan to have a family, right? Planned Parenthood will help you get there. Planned Parenthood is a federal agency that has centers all over the country. And that's what they're told. You go to Planned Parenthood, and they'll teach you about having a family. Planned Parenthood is abortion centers. That's what Planned Parenthood is. You go to Planned Parenthood when you want an abortion. In the United States, as a minor, you are not required to have your parents there as a woman, a young girl. They are not required to inform your parents. Planned Parenthood is government-funded abortion centers, guys. Somebody turn to Deuteronomy 5, verse 17. Deuteronomy 5, verse 17, yeah.
17.
Okay. It's pretty simple. Somebody hit it.
You shall not murder.
You shall not murder. Okay. There's a huge push backwards and forwards in the United States at the moment on this topic. Okay. There's the pro-life group on the one side that are saying abortion is murder. There's the other group on the other side who are saying, what about the right to choose? Doesn't a woman have the right over her own body? Okay. Now, this is probably the hardest hitting topic we're talking about today. But you're going to hear a lot. It's okay. It's the woman's choice. You know, that people don't want to really sound it out for what it is. We just read it. Deuteronomy 5:17. Shall not murder. We as a nation have In God We Trust written on the money. We have the Pledge of Allegiance. Some courthouses still have the Ten Commandments. And yet as a nation, we're committing genocide on our own population. There's only one being in the universe that authorizes that. There's only one being that promotes that.
When you were reading about, or when you had him read that "Thou shalt not kill," it, you know, brought me to the Ten Commandments, and I'm like, all right, I've been looking for the Ten Commandments, and I couldn't find it. And one of my friends, he's a Sunday keeper though, but he believes Sunday is the seventh day.
Right.
So I'm trying to find a way how to find it in the Bible that how it says seventh day is Sabbath. I know it doesn't say Saturday is the seventh day. But if you look on any calendar, well, you know, like our calendar, you know, 7 days is Saturday. Their calendar, 7 days is Saturday. And, most of the pagan calendars you look at is 7 days is Saturday. So, I'm just trying to find a way.
It never used to be. It never used to be. The calendars, they're shifting the printed calendars so that they show, you know, Saturday. They're shifting, yeah. So the Sunday's no longer the first day of the
that'll
week.
Be the seventh
Sunday day. Is the seventh day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be tough to persuade your Sunday-keeping friends that Sunday's not the day of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know? But But in all these things, these issues we've touched on today, guys, you've got to know why you think and feel the way you do. And if you have questions on an issue, look to the Bible. All the answers are there, okay? I grew up atheist. And I had to prove that for myself. I had to read that thing from cover to cover. I wanted to prove that that was just a nice collection of stories for kids on Sunday school. Right? I had no interest in God. I had no interest in the Bible. And what I've come to experience is that it's real. It's true. It's not just a nice collection of stories. It's inspiringly divine. And that's, you know, that nobody can tell you that. You've got to prove that for yourself. So with all these issues that keep coming up in society, you've got to hit them head on. Don't just brush them off into the back of your mind as something that's uncomfortable you don't want to talk about, like the issue of abortion. Most people don't even want to think about it. They just think, hey, you know, it's okay. 50 million babies will be murdered in the United States. It's genocide. You know, you've got to, even if it's uncomfortable topics, things that hurt, you've got to know why this is Satan's world. And it is, even though we look outside and cars are running up and down the road and it's clean and the air's fresh and everything looks nice on the outside, what's inside is rotten. So I hope that maybe giving you something to think about today, you can go away and maybe think about it a little more and come up with some ideas of your own. But anyway, I think we're about out of time. So thanks for coming up, guys. Appreciate it.